As we look into a little bit more of this chapter tonight, I see grace, but yet I see discipline and the need for obedience. And this was written for us. Everything that these children of Israel went through was for our benefit, and we can learn from everything that they went through. I would like to begin reading from the 6th verse, Deuteronomy 9:6. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. God called it like he saw it. He knew their hearts. He knew the attitude of their hearts. And he was not giving this land to them for anything that they had done. Now our lesson begins with verse 7 tonight. I would like to read the 7th verse, and then we'll go on. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. What a statement to be made. Remember here, it means to mark or to be mindful of. They were not to forget, and the word forget means to be oblivious of. They were to remember and forget not. They were not to forget how, they were to remember and not to forget how they provoked the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. Let's look at Psalm 106 in the 7th verse. We'll be coming back to Psalm 106 in a little bit. Psalm 106 and the 7th verse. Our fathers understood not, or they didn't consider carefully, thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They provoked him. They were rebellious. This was what was down in their heart. Provoked here means to be refractory, contumacious, which means obstinately resisting authority. It also means to contend, to strive, or debate. Have you ever been around anyone that wants to strive with you, wants to debate about something? They are not very nice to be around. Well, take into consideration God, he had this over 2 million people that were this way. They wanted to debate with him. They wanted to strive with him. They obstinately resisted his authority. Brother Wilson in his dictionary gives the definition of this word provoked. It means to grieve. To grieve. Put yourself in God's place. What did God do for those people in Egypt? He brought them out. He delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. They were helpless. They had no way to deliver themselves but God. What he did for them, they forgot. Then he goes on to say here, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. They were presently in the plains of Moab. It took them 40 years to get from Egypt over to these plains of Moab. And they complained and they murmured and they strived and they debated every step of the way. Moses, no wonder the Lord honored him. That man, he depended on the Lord so much. The Lord honored him in burying him, in resurrecting him, allowing him to be on the Mount of Transfiguration. That man went through so much. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. 40 years complaining and murmuring through the wilderness. They had the day that they left Egypt, they complained. Exodus 14. In the natural, you have someone like that, you'd say, hey, I'm not going to do any more for you. But God isn't man. Exodus 14. And I would like to begin with the 10th verse. They hadn't even crossed the Red Sea yet, and they were complaining. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They're already murmuring. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Plain old unbelief. How their tune changes. They wanted out of slavery. The Lord delivered them. Now they're saying, well, why didn't you leave us there? Now, up to the time, this was their first murmuring. Let's turn over to Numbers 14. I would like to read Numbers 14 and the 22nd verse. We know we will get to what happened at Kadesh Barnea, and this is at Kadesh Barnea. We know of the unbelief there, but the verse I would like to read right now is verse 22 of chapter 14. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice. Up to this point, they had tempted or tried or murmured 10 times. And I can give you the references for those 10 times. And it was all a result of unbelief. We read the first one in Exodus 14, 10 to 12. The second one is in Exodus 15, 23. The third one is in Exodus 16, 2 to 3. The fourth time is Exodus 17, 1 to 2. Then in Exodus 32. The sixth one is Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. The seventh one is Numbers 11, verse 1. The eighth is Numbers 11, verse 4. The ninth one is Numbers 12, verse 1. And then the 10th just happened in chapter 13 of Numbers, Numbers 13, 32. 10 times they murmured against the Lord up to this time. And as I searched, I found several more after this time up until the time they arrive at the plains of Moab. And I would like to look at those right now. We have one in number 16, and this is regarding Korah. Korah thought he could intrude into the priesthood. He was not of the line of Aaron. Number 16, and we'll read the 30th verse. This is when Korah attempted to intrude into the priesthood, and God was not going to allow it. In verse 30, but if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Korah provoked the Lord. The Lord had an order. The Lord, and we'll see here, the Lord, in fact, had an order regarding the priesthood. Over in chapter 17 of Numbers, in number 17, we'll read verses 7 to 10. This is where Aaron's priesthood had been questioned due to Korah's rebellion. And the Lord laid upon the rods before the, and Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Then we have another one in Numbers 20. Beginning with verse 2, Numbers 20, and the second verse. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses, and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren, speaking of Korah, died before the Lord. And why have you brought up this congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly, notice where they went, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. They wanted water again. The Lord had already proved himself to them that he would provide every need. And yet, what did they do? Over in 21, Numbers 21, and verse 5, again murmuring for bread and for water. And the Lord spake against God, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. They're speaking of the manna. They had Jesus right there in front of them, and they were calling this light bread or worthless bread. Let's turn over to Numbers 25. Numbers 25, we see that they joined themselves to Baal Peor. Numbers 25 will begin with the first verse, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled, or it burned against Israel. Now, I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians 10, the admonition to us that our apostle wrote. 1 Corinthians 10, what Moses went through with this people. 1 Corinthians 10, and I would like to begin with the 6th verse. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit spiritual fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt or test Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed, the destroyer. What they went through is an example for us. Back in Deuteronomy, they were very rebellious. They murmured. Every time Moses turned around, they were murmuring about something. It says in the last part of this 7th verse, ye have been rebellious. It wasn't against Moses. It was against the Lord. This second generation, remember they were little ones when their folks, that first generation, were strewn across the desert. They were the little ones. This second generation is identified now with this first generation because the seeds of sin or of unbelief and rebellion were passed down from their parents. Yes, the second generation may have been small children, but think of the example that they had before them. That is why it's so necessary as parents. What kind of an example do we set for our children? Are we going to set an example like that first generation did for that second generation? Or are we going to allow the Lord to judge what needs to be judged in our hearts so that we can walk right before the Lord? This word rebellious, in the Strong's it has a meaning of stubborn, obstinate, hard to manage, not yielding. In Brother Wilson's dictionary, this word rebellious means to be bitter, to rebel, or be disobedient. And I think that nation, Israel, fits every one of those words. And still yet today, I would like to look at verses, I will just go verse by verse here. In verse 8, also in Horeb. Now, we went through the different murmurings that they had from the day they left Egypt till the time they arrived in the plains of Moab. But Moses is going to bring up two big, you might say, occasions of their murmuring that God was ready to destroy them, just wipe them completely off the face of the earth. Because what they did was in total rebellion against God. And this is the first one. In verses 8 to 21, this is the first instance of the rebellion that they provoked the Lord to the extent of destroying them and starting a new nation with Moses. Verse 8, also in Horeb, this is Mount Sinai, ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. We'll read a little ways. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode, or I dwelt in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God. Think, the finger of God wrote these tablets. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. All right, let's consider Mount Sinai for a moment. This is the very place that they provoked the Lord to the position of considering of destroying this nation. Mount Sinai, the very place God appeared to the nation Israel. Remember, they saw him and he spoke to them, and they said, oh no, we want Moses to be our go-between. The people heard him. They heard his voice at Mount Sinai. They saw the burning on top of the mountain, the cloud. The very presence of God was evident to these people. Mount Sinai. This is the place that they voluntarily, and we're going to look at this, Exodus 19. This is the place that they voluntarily, no one put a gun to their head, no one made them do this. They voluntarily entered into the marriage contract with Jehovah. The very place. Exodus 19:6. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. It was a voluntary vow of self-dedication to the Lord. It stood. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, the 8th verse. Sorry. Let's read that again. Exodus 19:8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And the Lord returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Then over in Exodus 24, we see here, again, this covenant is ratified by blood. And I'll get this reference right. Exodus 24, verses 7 and 8. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now, Moses is recalling to the second generation, to their attention, as we read here in Deuteronomy, they have no grounds, but he is bringing to their attention, they have no grounds upon which they can claim this land of Canaan because of their righteousness. They have no righteousness. They had no righteous behavior. They are being held responsible for their actions. Now, in Exodus 24, we read in verse 29, we read in verse 9 of Deuteronomy 9, how the Lord went up into the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus 24 will begin with the 12th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Ur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud, and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, while he was there, those 40 days and 40 nights, God revealed to Moses, he gave him the pattern for the tabernacle, the pattern for the priesthood, who was to be the head builders, you might say, to build the construction of the tabernacle. He set out the priesthood. Who was to be the high priest? Who, of what line, of whose family the priest was to be? He also set the offerings in order. Moses didn't have time to do anything but to listen to the instructions of the Lord. He didn't need to eat. He didn't need to drink water because God was his sustenance. He was in the presence of God. Now in verses 10 and 11, we read how that he came at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. Let's turn to Exodus 31. We see this. We know chapters 25 through 30 are the instructions that God gave Moses on everything that he was to remember. No, that's what amazes me of everything, of all everything. Moses remembered it, the measurements, exact, the offerings, the different animals for the offerings, the priesthood, the garments for the high priest, and then the priests. Moses remembered it all. In Exodus 31 and 18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Now, as we go on into verse 12 in Deuteronomy 9, you will notice as you look back over Exodus 32, which we will read right now, Moses did not recount this to the second generation. Exodus 32, beginning with the first verse. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. It was cast in a mold. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Not a feast of the Lord, but a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Moses didn't recount this to those second generation, because this is the second generation. And he is showing this second generation, you have no righteousness. There is no, you have no grounds on which you will inherit this land because of what you have done. It's because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are you getting this land. Now these verses in Exodus 32:1-6, this was the first generation. They were the responsible party for this. They are a type of the old creation. Let's turn to Acts 7. I would like to turn to Acts 7 and read what Stephen, what he recounts of this situation. Acts 7, and I would like to begin with the 39th verse. to whom our fathers would not obey, speaking, let's begin with verse 37. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the tabernacle in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the living oracles to give to unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. I would like to turn now to Psalm 106. Their hearts were full of unbelief, and God knew this. God knew from the very beginning what their hearts were full of. He knows what our hearts are full of too. Psalm 106, and I would like to begin with the 19th verse. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. A note on this gold that they were to take off of their ears, to break off of their ears. That gold God had set aside for a specific purpose. That was for use in the tabernacle, not in an idol. I'd like to turn to Romans 1 now. What they did, and this is what's going on today. Romans 1, and we'll begin with the 21st verse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or foolish in their imaginations, and their heart, their foolish heart was darkened, and that was because of unbelief. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. This is what they did. They exchanged God, the uncorruptible God, who is living, for this image that is as lifeless as unlifeless can be. Now, I want you to notice here in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 9 what the Lord said unto Moses. And you can read the account in Exodus 32 also. And the Lord said unto me, Moses speaking, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made a molten image. You find this in Exodus 32, 7. God speaks to Moses, this people which belong to you. God could not identify with them because they were sinful. God cannot identify with sin. Let's turn to Matthew 27. Yes, Moses had nothing to do with it.
No.
I can imagine Moses' jaw hitting his chest. My people. I have to take responsibility for them. I think of that verse in Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there anything that is not manifest, but let's read that. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Like Mom just brought out, God saw it all. Here Moses was communing with God himself, and all this commotion was going on down there. God saw it, and he saw the heart, why it was being done. Well, God cannot look upon sin. He could not identify with these people. That's why he said, Moses, they're your people that you brought out of Egypt. In Matthew 27, we'll begin with verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God could not look upon his son when he became the sin offering. God had to turn his back. Because God is holy, God cannot look upon sin. And what this first generation did on Mount Horeb was sin. Notice the two words in this 12th verse. Have. For thy people which thou hast brought out of Egypt, have. It's not, they're not going to, or they've already, but they are presently, right now, have corrupted themselves, and they have made them a molten image. Have is a present tense. They had disobeyed the first commandment even before Moses brought the tablets down, written with the finger of God. They were actively in rebellion. What was in their hearts was coming out in their actions. And this phrase, and it's in Exodus 32, and this phrase is here in this chapter twice. They are quickly turned, in the 12th verse, they are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. Quickly. How long ago had it been that the Lord delivered them through the Red Sea? And they sang that praise in the 15th chapter of Exodus. Wasn't very long ago. But here, how quickly they turned aside out of the way. Quickly is an adverb. It describes of how they turned quickly. Turn means to turn aside, to go away, to depart. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 4:1. And this is happening today. 1 Timothy 4 and the first verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This is happening today because those of God's people aren't willing to suffer. They're not willing to suffer so that they can reign with Christ, as we read of in 2 Timothy 2:12. Oh, the suffering is too hard. I see an easier way. So they turn. They're not wholehearted. They're not totally dedicated. Their hands are not full of Jesus. They're not consecrated unto the Lord. In contrast, I would like to turn to Ezekiel 1, a picture of those that are running to win Jesus Christ as their prize, that he is their preeminent love. Ezekiel 1, speaking of the living ones, we know these are those that will reign with Christ as his bride. In verse 9, their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. There was no turning or no retreating. Then in verse 12, and they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. They had their eye looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. That is who they have their eye on. If you have your eye, and I've tried this when I've rototilled, I have a problem rototilling straight rows. I have kept my eye on a fence post, and I made a straight row. And that speaks to me that if we keep our eye on Jesus Christ, there will be no turning to the side. They'll be going straight to him. I would like to turn to Judges 2 in the 17th verse. This was nothing new for this children of Israel, this turning quickly. Judges 2, and I would like to begin with the 16th verse. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. This was after Joshua died, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not do so. How quickly, when we don't keep our eyes on the goal in obedience to the word, how quickly we turn. We have the example right here in Judges. In verse 13, furthermore, in Deuteronomy 9, furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, this is God speaking, let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. God, his wrath was rather hot. This stiff-necked people, it signifies a state of insubordination. It is the opposite of being submissive to the will of God. In Exodus 32:7, he says that he would consume this people. Consume there, it meant to be finished, to be brought to an end, to be quite done. That's what God thought of this disobedience, of what they had done. He was done. God has a limit, just as we know. God has a limit today. When that limit has been reached, he's going to send his son, and he's going to start judging the world. God has a limit. We see it right here. God had a limit. Destroy. He says, let me alone that I may destroy them and blot their name from under heaven. This destroy here means to lay waste, to cut off, to blot out, or exterminate. This word blot here means to wipe away. It was as if they weren't even going to exist anymore. He'd forget about them. He'd just blot them out. Then let's read verses 15 to 17. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the two tables, and cast them out of my two hands, and break them before your eyes. The construction of the molten calf constituted a breach of the first three commandments that God had given. Thou shalt have no more gods, no other gods. The third one is, you shall not worship any other god. And the second was, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. They broke the first three commandments that they said they would obey. Moses cast down those tablets upon which the law was written. They had disregarded them. He threw them down. They had broken them. So he threw those tablets down, and they were broken. Now I would like to read verses 18 to 20. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins, which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure, wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. I would like to go to Exodus 32. Nowhere in Scripture are these 30 days that he spent in intercession with the Lord for this nation is recorded. Exodus 32 and verses 30 to 33. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Moses, he ate the sin offering. He identified with these people. He laid his life on the line to intercede for these people. Yes, Daniel did too. Over in Daniel 9, and I'll give you the verses 1 to 22. Daniel identified with his rebellious, sinful people. And yes, Jesus became the sin offering. He not only ate the sin offering, he became the sin offering. Let's turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 will begin with the 6th verse. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. I would like to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21 now. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him sin for us. Jesus became sin. He became our sin offering. He ate the sin offering, you might say, who knew no sin, that we might be made or become the righteousness of God in him. I'd like to have one more verse here in Deuteronomy 9 tonight before we quit. The 21st verse. And I took your sin, the calf which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. We read in Exodus 32:20 that Moses made the people to drink the water. That first generation that did this had to taste the bitterness of that sin and rebellion that was down in their hearts. Moses cast it into the water. They had to taste of it. They had to learn that they had to abstain from idols, because that idol was burnt, and it was put to dust, and it was thrown in the water that they drank. They drank that. They tasted it. They tasted of the idol. They tasted of the bitterness. Let's turn to 1 John 5:21. 1 John 5 and the 21st verse. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And this is an admonition from the Apostle John, who was on the Isle of Patmos, that the Lord revealed all the visions that we read in Revelation. This is a love letter to each one of us. Keep yourself from idols. I would like to give the definition of an idol. An idol is anything that takes the place of God in the heart. It may seem harmless in itself, yet if it absorbs the heart, it is given and is given first place in the affections and the thoughts. It becomes an idol. God does not want us to allow idols to take the place of him. He wants to be our preeminent love. Let's allow him to be our preeminent love.